So we want that to be really just minister to your life. I think that we serve an incredible God. He's good to us. I'm going to do some review. Go to 201. I'm going to do a little bit, just reading through the review. How many enjoyed the Beatitudes? They're incredible. I'm going to tell you, you'll never look at it the same again. Every time you read it, because it's challenging. You can't read it without a challenge in your life. When you read it, you want to do better. And if not, you're going to struggle not to want to do better. You're just going to, because that's how powerful it is. So I'm going to read just where we went through, just read the verses in this context, because we're going to hit the next verse. We're going to start at 13 and go through 13, 14, 15, 16, probably in the morning. But tonight we got some things that I want to just talk to you about. I was on my way, going to get started, kind of lay out some groundwork for ye are the salt of the earth. And then I was intercepted by the Lord by one particular verse. And I'm going to take some time to lay that out tonight and just show you how important it is for where the Lord has us and what we're doing right now. The value of it. So incredible. So let's go back and look at this Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the admonitions, and precepts. Again, we took so much time in the Beatitudes, and I think it needed it. Definitely, we could have spent more time there, but we got to a good stop point, and now we're going to move on to the next verses. But we're talking about Jesus somewhere around age 31 near Capernaum. Matthew 5, verse 1 through 48 is what we're dealing with. And we took on the first few verses. We want to look at this again in its context as we looked at it originally. And seeing the multitude, he went up unto the mountain, a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying. Now we're going to go into, now what we're studying is understanding the words of Jesus. What did he say? Why did he say it? And so his sayings are going to come. And then he starts out, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of Elohim. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What a wonderful time we had going through those verses. And now we're going to go a little bit further in this. And before we do so, we're going to be looking at ye are the salt of the earth. That's the very next verse, verse 13. Before we do so, I want to take you on a journey through Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, I think this is a great time to do this because it's going to deal with what we're going to talk about next, salt and light. And how important it is to the in Christianity and being a Christian. And I'm not using that term loosely. I'm talking about what it really says in Scripture about us being followers of Christ. That's what we are. Christians are we're looking at His life and we're trying to be like Him. I mean, you know, that's important. We want to be like Him. We can't see that as an impossibility, or He would never ask us to do so. Well, our goal is to challenge our life to be more like Him at every level, whatever it is we're doing. We want to be more like him. We want to be like him. We got to know about him. What better way to know about him than study everything he said? Right? That's our journey. That's what we're on right now. That's our goal, what we've been dealing with in these lessons. We're going to look at every word that Jesus says. It's a great way to start out if you're going to serve God at any capacity. You know, some people want to serve God, and they do it at different levels. I'm not sure why. The scripture tells us you got to get it all in. But people, they'll start out at different levels. Well, I'm going to, you know, the way, and they go by what they see or how they interpret it. My hope is that on that way, that it'll get a hold to us. And I don't know if I've met anybody yet that's just kind of jumped in all the way. It's kind of, that's the approach that we take in our lifetime. We kind of get in, we feel the waters, it's not to our liking, we kind of back up a little bit, and then we wait for another, and we get in a little bit. And maybe that's a way that people come to understand this. But one thing's for certain, if you truly grab hold to what he said in the Beatitudes, your life will never be the same. It's that challenging. And so I just read them to you. And then before I read on, because he's going to start out, you are. He's going to talk about not what you can be. He didn't say you become. He didn't say nothing in that verse where you become salt or you become light. He says you are. There's not something, because he wants to make sure that we understand that. You are salt of the earth. You are light of the world. We got to understand that's what his as he looks at our life, that's what he sees. If we identify with coming out of the Beatitudes, which gives us everything that shows or says something about our life, about what it means to be a Christian. So we got all of those understanding. Now he says, with that understanding, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And we're going to cover that. But let me read this to you, because as I was going along looking at this, there was one verse in particular, verse 18 of this Proverbs 4, that really just struck me. And I read Proverbs 4 many, many times, but this particular time, it's that verse 18 really stuck out. But I'm going to read it in its whole entirety. So I backed up. I put it in here just 10 minutes before church started. I put these verses in because I said, I want everybody to see the context and what he's talking about. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1. Hear, ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. Now, who's the instructions from? A father. If the instructions is of the father, those who are listening or reading or adhering to this are what? Sons and daughters. Now, my prayer, as I keep reading this, that you would listen as sons and daughters. That's the whole point of this, the opening verse. Hear ye, what does he use? Hear ye, children. Notice that. We're talking about the father. We're talking about family. If you have children, you are family. And them children are from you. Now, we know that in the beginning, God created man in his own image, in his likeness. And sin was the only thing that separated man from God. And with the first Adam lost, he sent the second Adam. The second Adam regains that position. Now he's wanting the church, that would be us, to understand. So he addresses us, hear ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my laws. So what does he call his law? The Torah. The Torah he calls it what? Good doctrine. This is good doctrine. If you want good doctrine, how many know there's bad doctrine? There's doctrine that's all over the place, but he calls the law good doctrine. He said, I give that to you. Verse number three, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. So what is to happen? Now, we just went over the Beatitudes. How many see how critical me reading this now, how important? We just went over the Beatitudes spoken brilliantly from Yeshua. Brilliantly. So what are we supposed to do with this? He taught me also and said unto me. What was Yeshua doing? Remember, I just read it to you. He sits on a mount. He sat. And what does he do? He teaches them. In Proverbs, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. How many ready for that? How many know? Because all the weeks we spent on the Beatitudes could be just a distant memory of some words, and it was great. And you still trying to find how'd that service go? What happened? Who was touched? He didn't tell you about what you saw. He didn't tell you about feelings. We're not talking about emotions being moved. Who got prayed for? Who come to the Lord? He didn't talk about that. He said, the words you heard. The words you heard. He said, let thine heart retain the words you heard. How many ready for that? Because that's important. Let it retain my words, and you what happens? Keep my commandments, and what happens? Live. How many want life? We all want to live, and he's telling us how to get it. Get wisdom. He just simply says, get wisdom. So wisdom is what? Applied knowledge. Remember, wisdom is applied knowledge. So it's not what you, when you hear something, somebody says, well, that was some wisdom. I just got wisdom. Not what you heard. It's what you apply. Remember that. What does James say? Be not hearers only, but doers of the word is those who apply word. How many know there were some things we said in the Beatitudes that we need to apply to our lives? So what's the point of us doing this? If we're not going to take the word and apply it. The application of word is what he's dealing with right now. It's wisdom. He says, get wisdom. Get wisdom is not something that you go to the wisdom tree and you just get you some. How do you get wisdom from what we just heard? Apply it. Make it be practical in your life every day. Use it for you, for the benefit of being salt and light. Because remember, you are salt. You are light. As followers of Christ, that's who you are, not become. You're not becoming. You are. And that's important. Because if you never attain to it, you can always say, it never happened for me. What he says, if you follow Christ, he's the head. Is he light? Is he salt? You better believe it. What the body is, the same thing. Not becoming, but you are. And that's important to understand. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Preserve thee. How many know that salt is used for what? A preserver. I don't know about you, but this moves me. I can't even describe how I feel right now. This is not, we look at the scripture and we go, God, you're absolutely amazing. And what he wants, what he desires for all of us, there's not one that he would give more than the other. It's all about what we have received and how we apply it. Then it takes root in our life. It starts to bring forth fruit. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Now notice right in verse 6, there was something that he did to make it even more personal to each one of us. What did God do right here? He personified wisdom as she. He personified wisdom as she. Now understand that. I want you to get that because this is important when you read in the scripture of how personal God gets with the word and how he describes wisdom and how important it is to our life. Think about that. We don't have Lady Wisdom being the fourth person of the Godhead. What is he talking about here? He's trying to get you to know the intensity of what he's trying to describe to you. So he personifies wisdom as she. Because he wants us to grab hold to how personal he's making this. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Still talking about wisdom. Wisdom, verse 7, is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. I mean, see that. Verse 8, here we go again. Exalt her. Do what? Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. If you do what the word has said, what word did we get? Wisdom. How does it wisdom to me? I apply it. Other than that, I just heard it. It's not applied, therefore it can't be wisdom. Remember, wisdom is applied knowledge. Something you didn't know, now you know. Now what do you do with it? You can go around knowing it, and it never become, she shall preserve thee. Because see, you're going around knowing it, and you can repeat what you know. You can repeat it, but you can't never say by what you know, let me show you what it's done for me. That's applied knowledge, which therefore is wisdom, and your life will begin to go straight to growing in God. That's what happens. So we can go back year after year in our life. We can see where our mistakes were. And we can make some adjustments. You can't fix your life good enough. You can't fine tune it and tweak it enough to please God. That's why he says, I gave you my commandments and I gave you my doctrine. And if you do what it says, it'll preserve your life. Remember, we can't do it. When man comes up with concepts that sound good. They all sound good. It seems to be right. But the end of it is death. Remember that. But God, what he did, he gave everything to us, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth is what he gave to our life. And that's important for us to understand. And I hope you understand that today. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. I mean, see, there's some things you got to do, not just being hearers of the word only. You got to embrace wisdom. You embrace her. When a son is embracing a mother, that the son and embrace of the mother is not like anything. There's nothing like it. Now, there can be another person that's a son of someone else, but the embrace from the mother and the son is so unique, even if the other son joins in and there's a welcoming hug or what have you, it's never the mother to son hug. It's just nothing like it. Because out of her innermost being, produced that son. I mean, understand that. Out of her produced that son. That's what God is saying. You're a product of wisdom. Treat her right. She's what brought it to pass in your life. She bore you. And so we're being formed in the image and likeness of God through the womb of wisdom. This is what's happening. We're not up here just to preach ourselves happy. We're not up here to take up an hour or two in the service. I'm trying to tell you, if you want to live better, you can. But you got to stay in the womb of wisdom in order to be a product, which is called a son or a daughter of that wisdom. And he's telling us that. So listen what he says. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doth embrace her. Once you come forth, and you're now doing, how many of you know that the fight's not over? Once you come forth and you're doing good, I mean, there's no doubt about it, life has changed for you. What you used to do, you're not doing no more. And that would be great if we could just freeze frame it right there. But how many of you know the adversary's out there and he's out to get you? So you're going to be plugging along and you're shouting hallelujah. You're doing all that stuff and bam, you get attacked by the enemy. What do you go back to? You snuggle right back in the womb of wisdom. You get back underneath that protection. And this is what he's telling us. He says, I gave you everything you need to succeed if you'll listen to me. That's what he's telling us. Every person here can be successful in serving God. But you got to remember, this is valuable to our life. Verse 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. How many know we need that ornament of grace on our life every day? She gives to thy head an ornament of grace. Now I'm going to tell you, the enemy, this is where his battleground is, right here in the mind. That's where every attack that ever happened to you in your entire life, it all started in the mind. Every one of them. It didn't start in your hand and your feet. It didn't start in your belly. It wasn't your appetite that gets you in trouble. It was the mind. The mind is a release. It's the corridor. It's the entryway to every other thing in your life. And if he can beat you in your mind, that's how he destroys you. Start getting you to think that you're less than what God declared you are. Well, how do I know what God declared me to be? You look at it. You see, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the king. We're going through this whole thing. He's telling us. He told us. Listen, Yeshua laid it out beautiful. But how does that happen in my life? How does it practically apply to my life so I can be successful in that? How do I get some roots down? I got to get some seeds sown so the roots will start growing. How do I get this thing to blossom in my life? How do I bear fruit in this? He's letting us know. She shall give to thy head an ornament of grace. We need grace. Let me tell you, there's going to be some days that your thinking is not exactly on par and you think yourself right in a mess. I mean, has that ever happened to you? Has that ever happened to you? I'm talking about believers, not non-believers. Believers, but non-believers are in a mess already. We're talking about folks who come out of the mess, doing good, serving God, doing what God wants you to do, and all of a sudden you think yourself in trouble. Lots of trouble. And it happens. It's just the enemy. But let me tell you, when it happens, what does he supply? She shall give thee to thy head an ornament of grace. Thank God for the ornament of grace. Grace is not something you can earn. It's a provision of something that you and I need in order to sustain life. For by grace are you saved, through faith. How many thank God for that? And this should be a valuable one to us. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. A crown? A crown of glory. What is the crown of glory for? Sometimes we gotta be let known inside of our own life that there's a crown of glory that he wants to place. Where does the crown go? Do you place it on the foot? Where does the crown go? He wants to place it on your head. after he supplied grace, you see, here's why. Why do I need an ornament of grace? Because without an ornament of grace, you won't think, you think I messed up. There's no reason for me to keep going. I'm already beat. I done been, every time I try to do good, I get beat. So he graces you and says, now, to let you know how much I'm for you, he says, what I want to promote you to is I want to put a crown of glory on you. How incredible is that? Notice this. All of these things, he's doing it for the one he started out talking about, my sons, my children, my daughters. He's talking about that. A crown of glory shall she shall deliver to thee. Remember, wisdom personified as she. How many getting that? How many see that picture? Verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of thy life shall be many. How many want you to extend your days in the earth? Nobody should want to have your days in. You want to, Lord, I want to live out every day you've given me. Whatever that is. I don't know what those days are, but you do. But I want every one of them. Every one that you give me. So here he's saying, the years of thy life shall be many. We have here a sense that it can be an extension. Other than, if we're not listening, not paying attention, not snuggling in the womb, not realizing these things, not listening to wisdom, we could cause a decrease in the years. So hence the saying, well, folks have said, well, it must have been their time. Well, what gives? How do we know that? It makes it sound good. So-and-so's gone. It must have been his time. Ain't nothing you can do. I've heard people say, you know one thing about you, ain't nothing you could do about your time. When it's your time, it's your time. I'm just telling you about what you can do about your time right here. It says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. You could do something about your time. How many understand that? That's important. What am I doing about my time? Am I trying to make the best of it? We should be. Verse 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Notice that. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. You get taught in wisdom, led in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Wow. He's telling us this is what I'll do when you allow the word to become real to you. Verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. What should we do with the word when we hear it? Do something about it when? Right then and there. Don't wait. We make altar calls every service. If you want to pray, we'll pray with you. Whatever it is, if you want to do it right in your seat, do it there. But when, how soon should you do it? He take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. She is thy life. Hold on to it with everything you got. It's the sustaining of, it sustains life. So information that we gotten, the instruction that we gotten, we got to understand this is important to us. It's not just another service. We got through it and then we're going to move on to the next subject. We don't want to just fill your plate with subject after subject, lesson after lesson. I want you to understand this is important to your life. How many seen these things happen for you when you start applying the word and using the instruction that God gave you? You start seeing increase in your life. It's what it does. If you're not seeing increase, you got to realize, Lord, am I doing everything I should be doing? Am I following through with what I need to? If not, you make those adjustments. You'll see it happen. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Notice that instruction. It's kind of a shift here because he's been talking about what she can do for you, wisdom personified. Then he goes in verse 14, he says, enter not. That's a direct command. He says, don't do it. Enter not into the path of the wicked. And it's enticing. It's tempting. Because you look at the wicked. That's why he says in Psalms, don't fret over how the wicked prosper. That's not your lane. You don't get there. Because that's what it does. You'll have a tendency because they might be making three times as much as you make. And you go, I'm serving God. And I ain't doing that good. That's not the lane to be in. If you want to quickly get yourself in trouble, start thinking down that path. That's not the lane. So you're adding up only material things. That's what you're adding up. Because they don't have eternal life. Let's start with that in your life. Let's put that number one, eternal life. Now, I'm just going to ask you, what could they have that can match eternal life? That's why we don't start. What we start doing is comparing bank accounts. That's a bad place to get. Listen, enter not into the path of the wicked. Don't do it. And go not in the way of evil men. What does he call the wicked? Evil men. Don't do it. Don't. Why would you do that? Because let me tell you, it's enticing. Because we're talking about him delivering wisdom and using wisdom as a mother that embrace. There's nothing like it. I mean, you start feeling bad and mama gets home and hugs you and you feel better. He's trying to tell us, use that instruction as that tool. But what he don't want you to do is enter the path of the wicked. Don't go in the way of evil men. Verse 15, avoid it. We're continuing. What does he say? Avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't even lean that away. Because it's not becoming sons and daughters of the Most High. How many understand that? It's just not. You're going to be enticed and tempted at every turn. Pass not by it. Turn from it. As a matter of fact, if you accidentally make a wrong turn, what does he do? So notice, as soon as you notice it, turn from it. Turn from it. And pass away. Don't pass close. Don't pass by it. Don't be a spectator. I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to go see what they're doing. That's not a good way. Don't pass by it. If you got to pass that way, it's going to take you off track every time. Because if God don't have your life written that way, he's not taking you down that path. Remember the song we sang? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the plan. We're not dealing with just somebody. We're talking about the Most High. He knows the plans he has for you, and it's not to hurt you. He's got a hope and a future for you, and every person here has got a hope and a future. Every one of you. That's what you got to understand. Every one of you, not exempt. You're not passed over. He's not, I forgot about you. Every person has a hope in the future. Why? Because you are salt. You are light. Not becoming that, you are that. Then the question has to be asked, why am I not living in the things that it says? I'm giving you that. I knew that would be asked. So I gave you the instructions in Proverbs 4. That's the reason why. We got to make sure that we adhere to this. Verse 16. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. We're still talking about evil people, evil men, and those that are wicked. That's what we're dealing with. That's the context. There's a shift in this whole reading here, and we're talking about that. The context of what we're dealing with is the wicked and evil people. Okay? And it says, for they, that's the day they're talking about, they sleep not, except they have done mischief. Some people aren't happy with their day unless they've caused trouble. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. What's the work of the enemy? He's trying to get you to fall. He's trying to get your life to fall somehow, some way. Because if he can get you to fall, then everything that you ever done all your life And as being a Christian, it's just there it goes. Because if you fall, that's what everybody said. Well, you know, at one time they were doing good, but look at them now. That's what the enemy wants for your life. He wants you to fall, but you got to stand firm on the principles of God. So what do I have? Well, you have the Word of God. It all starts somewhere. What do you got to do? Well, I got to go back over here, and I got to realize that I'm a beggar, and I need God. And then you go through that same process, and you let God process you over and over. I've been processed through that many times. That's important, because that's how you grow in God. How many want to grow in Him? So we're dealing with the wicked and what they attempt to do. For they eat the bread of wickedness. Verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now there's going to be another shift, because it starts with but. How many like when you see that? Now we have all that was said about the adversary. Not for you, but against you. He wants to see you defeated. Verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light. Notice that. The just. Who's the just? Who's the just? Well, the word just there is the word justified. Justified. Now, we got to understand that word justified is not something you can do. You can't do justification for yourself. Somebody's involved in justification. Somebody's heavily involved in that, because we've all sinned, come short of God's glory. But how do we get become the just? Because that's what we want to become. He said the path of the just. How do we become the just? Is a shining light. Think about that. That shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, this one verse right here is what got me, because I'm preparing for Salt and Light. And that one verse right there is what made me say, you know what, tonight we need to talk about this, because it's a good, it's kind of a intermission, as it were, to coming out the Beatitudes, going into now his description of what we are. Not becoming, but what we are. How do we know we are? Because we just went through the Beatitudes. And if we went through that obstacle course, you are salt. You are light. That ought to make somebody happy. You're not trying to become salt. You're not trying to become light. You are. Why? Because you just come through these Beatitudes. You came through that, and you came through it victoriously. What does that make you? Salt. What does that make you? Light. Now, you can lose salt. What salt does, you can lose it. And you can lose what light does by hiding it or covering it up. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. That's what we don't want to. But we don't want you to believe that you're still trying to become something that the Beatitudes put you right in. I mean, does that make sense to you? What did the Beatitudes do? It put me right in right standing with God. So when I talk about the path of the just, that's just as if you had not sinned. That's what that does. You got cleaned up. How do I know? Because he talks about a crown of glory. He talks about the crown of glory. That's important, because that's letting us know. Then not only that, he talks about we're his children. And if we're his children, then that makes us what? Heir. And if we're heir to what? The throne. This ought to make you happy. That's why he says, don't pay no mind to those who are working wickedness or evil men. Don't pay no mind to that. The path of the just is as the shining light. It's like shining light. You are the light of the world that shineth more and more into a perfect day. How many are ready to keep shining till the perfect day comes? Look at verse 19, because there's a opposing factor here. The way of the wicked is as darkness. How many see that? There's a big difference. We got light and what? Darkness. Why does he need that light in the world? Why does he need light in the world? Because the world's dark. Why does he need salt? Because the whole world's decaying in sin and iniquity, and he's trying to preserve some alive. And who are you? You're the preserving factor. You are salt. See, so it's not just fanciful words that he's using in metaphors. This is important to our life. We need to pay attention to these things because this is what God expects of all of us. He said, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So we can't be acting that way. If we're calling ourselves Christians, we shouldn't be stumbling nowhere. How many understand that? We don't stumble. How do you stumble? Because if you're walking in a dark room, how many's ever been in a dark room and you think you know where the light switch is? You know, sometimes that happens. You're going in there and you go, it's somewhere, and you hit something. You stumble on something. Why did you stumble? Do you do it when the light's on? You know where it's at. You'll see where it's at. But when it's dark, and he says evil people, the wicked, he describes the way of the wicked as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Notice what he said. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Is that not what we're doing? And remember, the spokesman on behalf of God, the Most High, is his son Yeshua. And he says, what I'm telling you is what my Father told me to tell you. And what did he just tell us in verse 20? My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. What's one of the sayings of Yeshua? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. See, it goes right through this whole series that we just come out of. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. It's a little different here. Where? From your eyes. Now something is just shift in the realm of the spirit. Does faith come through your eyes? No. First thing had to happen is faith cometh by hearing. James says, be not a hearer only, but a doer of the word. How many have ever had to read some instructions before? You read the instructions? How many know when you read aloud, it helps you to better comprehend it? Anybody like that? That you don't need no background noise when you're trying to get something. You like it quiet because I'm reading some instruction here. You don't need a bunch of noise going on. How many know that happens a lot? It gets a lot of noise going on. And what you're trying to do? You're trying to get this. Because for you, it matters. And so what do? You're going to get away from all the background noise. Because you're hearing it. But there's going to be a time when the noise is not going to matter. Because then you're going to step into a new part of what God wants to do for you. Let them not depart from thy eyes. You're going to see it. You're going to envision it. How do you envision it? Faith come by hearing. Hearing come by the word of God. Now it's inside of you. Now you can see it with the eye. Becomes a part of who you are. You're plugging along in life, and you're going to remember these services. You'll remember the times you read aloud to yourself. So it becomes faith to you. But you won't have your Bible. You won't have no church service. You won't have the pastor. You won't have anybody but you and God. And you're going to see it with your eyes. It just becomes real to you. He said, let them not depart from thine eye. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, it gets to a different level. Starts to become a part of you. How many of you know there's some things that you plugging along in life and you start doing things and you're just doing them and they become second nature to you. You know, I watch some of these guys there, you know, you're driving, you know, if you've never driven a boat, I've seen guys that never driven a boat and they probably shouldn't be driving a boat. And they're like this. I mean, they're intense. They're going and don't go through nothing now. Because they've never done it before. But if you've done it before, you're just going with it. Because you've been there so many times. You gave a lot of attention to it. You spent a lot of time. You invested time. If you do that in the Word of God, you know what's going to happen as a believer? You're going to walk through life. You're going to be going through life. And you're going to realize that you remember the embrace of she. Don't you pay attention to what she tells you. Listen and hear to what she's doing in your life. Lady Wisdom. Remember that. Personify for you and I to get it. It becomes a part of who you are. That's what serving God should be. It don't be. Why would you have fear of anything? Why would you have anxiety about anything? That was a lesson I have to learn. I said to the Lord, I don't understand that. Why would I have anxiety about anything? You said not to have it. Why would we have it? So what are you doing in life? You're going along in life. You're not trying to just survive. What believers aren't just surviving in this world. He didn't. If you're trying to survive, you hadn't become salt yet. You are salt. You are light. Dude, what do you do with a light? Do you get a light and put it under a bushel?
No,
you don't put it under a bushel. Why? Because if you, and then he calls it, then he describes a big description. He says, a city. How many of you ever seen a city? I've come into some cities that at night, you can, it's not, it's the city. It's full of light. It's lit up. There's the city. I've been on some roads where we were looking for a light. We drove a long time looking for a light. We seen a car light, was excited. Because it was dark, dark in the Black Hills of South Dakota. I mean, it's dark. But when you see a little glare in the distance, you go, there's something. He said, a light is like a city on a hill. Now, listen, cannot be hid. If the city's on the hill, you can't hide it. And he's talking about that's the light. So listen. He says, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them. Notice those that find them. They are life to those that find them. How many of you know, how many of you want people to find them? When people are in decay of sin and it's eating their life up, how many's ever been in that position where sin was just eating your life up? It ate your relationships up. It ate your money up. It ate everything up that it could eat up. And you come to know God and you finally realize some things about God. And now you're the salt of the earth. Well, what is that for? There's going to be other people that's going through what you went through. And they're looking for an answer. Well, the answer that they're going to get, how is it going to be any help to them if you and I are not examples? Let me tell you what God did for me. Don't start out with, let me tell you what I did. What you did? Are you serious? Let me tell you what God did for me. You just not forget, we didn't do anything. God did it in our life. And we share that testimony, it changes people's life. That's important. For they are thy life, they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. I mean, see that? Health to all their flesh. So, is it important that we're salt and light? You better believe it. That's why he made us that way. He made us that way. When you come to Christ and you're born again, you are salt. You are light. Now, can you lose that? Yes. And tomorrow I'm going to talk about that. You can lose it, but you're not trying to become that. Because a lot of people spend their lifetime trying to be more salt and trying to be more light. And that's not what the scripture teaches. We're not trying to be more, we are. Everybody say, I am salt. I am light. That's very important. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. How many see that? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible talks about the heart of man is evil continually. Right? Now, I'm going to understand that. That's what you were. Now, what do? You keep your heart under the banner of what? Wisdom. Why? Because out of it, out of what? Your heart is the issues of life. Out of it. So, how does the battle start here? How does it get here? It's because we have this mental or this mind ascent. Very important. So if it can descend, if the bad thinking descends, it corrupts the heart. But if good things in the heart ascends, what it does to the mind? It eliminates the battlefield for the enemy. We need the things of the heart to go up into the mind. And what happens? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Very important. That's how you let it happen. You have the issues of life in the heart goes up. Your mind starts getting sharp. And you know the tricks of the enemy. This is how it can happen. Just this quick. Let me give you a good example. You're getting ready. You're going to work or whatever. You're going and you're just driving down. Maybe early in the morning you're going to work. And all of a sudden your mind will start thinking about what somebody might have said. Or maybe with somebody, how they looked at you. And you start thinking about it and dwelling on it. Well, maybe, I don't know, what did I ever do? The moment you said that right there, you opened all the doors up and you let any kind of thought come in now. It's all coming in. And it don't come in easy, no. It just floods in the head. Well, you know, I don't know why it's like that. Because, you know, every time they ever ask me to do something, I'm willing to do it. And, you know, the other day, it was like they ganged up on me. And the men at church, it was like they never did come. It's like they was looking at me, all crazy eye looking at me. Yep. I just don't understand that. Here you go. You let it all come in. You think? And that's what he does. He's coming. How do you fix that? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and preserve lips, perverse lips put far from thee. I'm not saying it. I'm not bringing it on my life. I'm not going to put the curse on my life. Speak life. This is valuable to us. Don't let it enter the mind. And it'll do it. You sitting around before you know it. You don't have no get up and go because you start thinking thoughts that you allow to control the mind. Now what happens? God says, if the word's in your heart, it's not in your head. The word's in your heart. How did it get there? Through the ear. How does it stay there? Through the eye. Are y'all following this? How does it stay? But now you got vision of the word. It's in you. How do you use the word? It ascends. It ascends from the heart to the mind, right thinking. Right words. My mouth is going to speak right things. The moment evil comes, it starts here. How does it affect your life? Does it affect it here? No, that's the battleground. You lose it when it mental descends. And then it hits your heart. And then you don't know how to get out of what you just got yourself in. And let me tell you, that's how the enemy works. He works that way with everybody. Nobody's exempt from that. If you want to know how he works, how he gets you to think thoughts of other people, there's no truth to it. That's the way he does it. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Know what he's saying? Quit looking around. Why do they put the frontlets on the eyes? Why do they put these shields on the horses? They don't want them to get distracted. What their goal is, they got to run that way. That's all you need to be looking at. I got to go that way. It's when you're looking around, because the evil's over here and it's over there and it's back there. And they're doing this. Look at them. It's like they got blessings coming out. It just every way they turn, it's just coming blessings. Keep looking. What does he say? Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Don't look anywhere else. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. This is the walk of the believer. When you put your foot down, you know it's supposed to be there. It's been authored by the Lord. You're not doing this in life. Should I go or shouldn't I go? You don't know if you're going backwards or forwards. That's no life for the believer. No life for the believer. And if you're doing that, you miss this whole thing. And wisdom is not helping you anymore, because you don't see the word of God as it becomes real. Notice what he says, last verse. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. What does he call it? If you're going this way, what does he call that? Evil. If you're going this way, what does he call that? He calls it evil. He says, take your foot from there. Don't go there. How many of you have ever been going in life, you going along, and you think a little sidestep ain't going to hurt, and the Lord says, don't do that. What do you do when you hear that? Pay attention. He's serious. Don't do it, because it doesn't benefit you at all. All right. What does it mean to be salt, the salt of the earth? We'll focus on that in the morning. All right. Well, I think that was enough tonight. If we'll follow this, it'll be a benefit to our life. So we're going to continue in this. If you're here today, you need prayer for anything, we'd like to pray with you. If you're fine, continue in the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. He's good to us. But how many want to take some time and go over Proverbs 4? Take some time, look at it for yourself. Very important. So he covers all these wonderful things. Does anybody here need prayer for anything?